And welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Do we have a Zoom operator? We don't have a Zoom operator. Who's supposed to be Zoom operating?
You want me to do it, Timothy?
Yes, please. That'd be lovely. Thank you. So we don't have a PowerPoint nor a Zoom operator. But anyway, thank you so much, Sue. So our first hymn together is Come On and Celebrate. Please will you stand.
You.
St. Paul writes, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. O God, the fount of wisdom, you have revealed to us in Christ the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. Grant us your Spirit's gift of discernment, that in the midst of the things of this world, we may learn to value the priceless worth of your kingdom and be ready to renounce all else for the sake of the precious gift you offer. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. So thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So our first reading is from the letter to the Romans.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn with a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing our next hymn, Seek Ye First. reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house." And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, over the last 2 weeks and continuing today, we've been reading Matthew's collection of Jesus' parables about the kingdom. And there are seven of these parables altogether. The first two we've already had, and they use seed as a metaphor. We had the parable of the sower, and then the parable of the wheat and the weeds. For some reason, our lectionary skips over the next two, but these are well-known ones, those short parables. The parable of the mustard seed. Remember, even though the seed, even though it's really small and insignificant, it grows, Jesus says, to something that is really big. And then a parable of yeast, which a woman kneads into the bread. And even though the yeast is unseen, it plays a vital part in the rising of the loaf. But we do have the last three of those parables today: the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field, and the good and the bad fish in the net. So why has Jesus given us these parables? Why has Matthew chosen to put them together in this teaching part of his gospel? Well, he does explicitly put the question in the gospel, but they are all really in answer to the question that was implicitly posed at the very, very beginning of the ministry of both John the Baptist and of Jesus. The first words almost that John is recorded of saying in Matthew chapter 3, and amongst the first words that Jesus is recorded of saying when he starts his ministry in Capernaum in Matthew chapter 4, are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." So the question then is, what is this kingdom? Well, most everyone who heard John and Jesus would have been Jews, and so this question would also have encompassed the question of how does this fit in with what they already knew about God through their scriptures? What is this teaching of first John the Baptist and then Jesus? And for Matthew's community, this question was still relevant. What did it mean to live as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, a member of the church in the midst of the Roman Empire? And was and it is a very hard thing to grasp. The kingdom of heaven is not something that can be explained in words in Aramaic, which Jesus spoke, in Hebrew or Greek, the languages that the scriptures were written in, or indeed in English. It is through the parable of parables that we get a glimpse into what Jesus and St. Paul as well call the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. That word mystery is sometimes misunderstood, certainly today, where if I talked about a mystery, then you might think about the sort of detective dramas on television where there is an almost inexplicable thing happens. Someone has been killed in a locked room or something like that. However, we know that Sherlock Holmes will come, or Hercule Poirot, or Miss Marple, and they will solve it. It will be obvious. Not to us. Nor do I mean a mystery in the sense that, well, in pre-modern doctors, when people got ill, they didn't know why they were ill. They didn't have our modern understanding of germs and things like that. So they would say, this illness is a mystery. We don't know. However, there was an explanation, and scientific advances have actually given us that. Nor do by mystery do I mean the sense of something that we can't figure it out. It has no explanation, and it's not even worth the effort to try and understand. Like, I don't understand that person. They're a total mystery to me. Doesn't matter. There's a word, mystery, in a Christian sense, means something that we don't, it's not something that we don't happen to know. It's something that we cannot know fully by the very nature of what it is. Were we to be able to explain everything about God, then God wouldn't be God. God is the one who created everything, the one who is infinite in love, power, and wisdom, and cannot be comprehended by finite minds. So St. Paul writes in his letter to Timothy, without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. Both senses, the mystery is, and the greatness that Paul goes on to talk a lot about. But that's not to say that we say, who knows? I don't. We can know something about God, about the kingdom. God chooses to reveal God's self to God's people through the prophets and then through the words of Jesus. And these parables give us an insight into what is meant by the kingdom of heaven. And what picture do we get? Well, first is that the kingdom of heaven is not something esoteric. Most of the parables in Matthew's collection show the kingdom in every nook and cranny of everyday life. There's ploughing, there's sowing, there's kneading dough, there's carrying on businesses. Echoing the words of Deuteronomy chapter 30, surely this commandment I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The kingdom is not something that is secret knowledge only known by the most enlightened. It's something that can be known by all. And Jesus reaffirms this. Then there is the element of hiddenness. The mustard seed parable. The mustard seed disappears into the ground. The yeast is concealed inside measures of flour. The treasure is buried in a field. The hidden pearl must be found. Even the fish lurk beneath the surface of the sea. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is not immediately visible. It doesn't announce itself with fanfare. It operates beneath the surface of things and requires that those who desire it seek it out. Seek first the kingdom of God, as we sang. Then there is an element of a disproportionate outcome. The kingdom of God does not follow the normal rules. The man who finds the treasure sells all that he has. The merchant who discovers a pearl does the same. These are not stories about wise investments. There's stories about people who encounter something so absolutely extraordinary that they decide to reorganize their all life, the whole life. The seed, the size of a grain of sand, becomes a tree large enough to hold nests, says Jesus. The yeast produces enough food. A little bit of yeast, unseed, produces enough bread to serve 100 people. Not what we would expect. It's more extravagant. It's bigger than we can even dream or imagine. And these are certainly encouraging messages for Jesus' disciples, for Matthew's people, or for us. The kingdom is not out there, but it's here and now in all that we do. It's something that might seem to us to be hidden or small, but it is certainly silently working and growing. It's something that will go beyond our wildest dreams or expectations. And it is something that is so important that it demands a total response. In the words of Isaac Watts' famous hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Glimpses of a kingdom, but there is more glimpses even than those in this passage. There's also an element of subversion, going against the grain. To call the mustard plant a great tree is a bit of hyperbole. The mustard plant was more of a straggly shrub and more often thought of as a weed as it smothered other crops. Today we would call it an invasive species, and we know what that means. But this plant has been used by Jesus to illustrate how the kingdom of heaven operates. And then yeast, well, in Hebrew tradition, yeast was something that's associated with corruption. Yeast spoiled things. But Jesus tells the disciples later to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. So when he says that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman hides in flour, he is offering a provocative image. The kingdom works in the same way that fermentation works, quietly, invisibly, and by a process that from the outside looks a lot like something going wrong before it goes right. And then what about that person digging in the field? Well, he's a thief, really, isn't he? And the merchant, well, in those days, merchants were held in about the same level of esteem as today we would think of dodgy used car salesmen. Their motives and their scruples were so suspect, but yet their responses to finding something of ultimate worth was to sacrifice everything. And so Jesus can use them as an illustration of an aspect of the kingdom. And don't overlook the fact that also that Jesus in his parables includes women in there as well, which wouldn't have been something that most Jews would have used in their teaching. We've got sowers, we've got men, we've got merchants, we've got fishermen, but we also have a woman making bread. Actually not just looking at the kingdom, but actually doing things, actually her fingers in the kingdom and doing the kingdom's work. All in all, there is nothing minor or unimportant in the kingdom of heaven. Everything can shine a light on it. And the kingdom of heaven is all these things and more. It is also not only present here in the present, but also the fullness of time, as the parables of the wheat and the weeds, which I spoke on last week, and the fish in the net, which tells a similar message, show. The final image, I think, sums it up well for Matthew's gospel. Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And that's telling. Something old and something new. For Jesus and Matthew's people who live within the heritage of the Hebrew scriptures, this is a reminder that the kingdom of heaven is what God had been talking about through the prophets all along. There was wisdom there which told of the desire of God to reconcile all people to God's self. Yes, through their long history, the relationship had changed. There were covenants with Abraham and with David. There were prophets, there were judges, there were kings. There were exiles, there was restoration. But the same God was behind all of that and with them all the time. As the letter to the Hebrews starts, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But from this old, this valuable old, this treasure chest, so to speak, came something new, Jesus is saying. A new relationship, a new understanding of the kingdom, relationship between God and God's people, grounded in what came before, but of a whole different level. Continuing Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says, "But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a son." So Jesus is the one who both proclaims and invites us to participate in this kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Amen. Please stand and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father. Let us pray for the world and for the church.
The response to the prayers this morning is, "Lord, reveal to us your kingdom and hear our prayer." God of peace, we pray for our troubled world and for an end to the war in the Middle East. May the leaders involved in this conflict remember that we are all children of God and protectors of your creation, even where we appear to have differences. Where there are moments of joy and positivity, like communities supporting each other or countries cooperating for the Commonwealth Games, may we take that spark of love and pass it on. Lord, reveal to us your kingdom and hear our prayer. God of faithfulness, we pray for our church and those who lead us in seeking out your kingdom. The mystery of our religion is great, and we give thanks for the clergy who help us to understand it. Within the Anglican Communion, we pray for the Anglican Church of Tanzania, the Diocese of Wangaratta, the Parish of Tambourine Mountain, Anglicare Southern Queensland Symes Grove Residential Aged Care, and David and Zoe Brown with Bush Church Aid in Gladstone. Lord, reveal to us your kingdom and hear our prayer. God of unity, we pray for our local community, our neighbours and friends, that we may find your kingdom in every nook and cranny of everyday life. You change our life, and may we fulfill your mission of transforming the lives of those around us. We pray for Marshall Road Primary, Salisbury Primary, and Yeronga Primary, and for our diocesan property team and the builders as they finish their work upon our campus. Lord, reveal to us your kingdom and hear our prayer. God of healing, we pray for the sick, those who are tired and down in spirits, those who are mentally unwell, and those who care for them. the promises of your kingdom can seem so far away. Help us to find you in the ordinary acts of love, care, and service. Within our parish, we pray for Ryan, Sharon, David, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter, Maxine and Robin, Glenn and Rose, Mon, Ian, Scott, and Tim. Lord, reveal to us your kingdom and hear our prayer. God of eternal life, we pray for your servants who have gone before us. May we follow their response to seeking out your kingdom by giving our soul, our life, our all. Today, we remember those from our parish book of remembrance: Noel Augustus M. Cole, Eunice Constance Gore, Frieda Hall, Dorothy Louisa McElraith-Gard, Bert Fisher, Betty Walker Alford, Elsie Millicent Clark, Mabel Maria McLaren, Flora Doreen Younger, Florence Iris Winifred Stein, Ida Margaret Winterbotham, and Maxwell Leslie Robbins. Lord, reveal to us your kingdom and hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy, welcoming sinners and inviting them to the Lord's table. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith with a sincere and a true heart. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
The Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Peace with you all. Peace with you, be with you on Zoom as well. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, It Only Takes a Spark. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross, Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us in this hope that we have grasped, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. But one thing I forgot to mention, despite it being right in front of my eyes, was that you may have noticed in the notice paper that we are aiming to update and the contactees as we have of members of the parishes. Over the years, it's got a little bit out of date, probably since Chris Bromwich left us, who organised us so well in that area. So there is a paper form at the back, or there is an online form as well. There's a QR code, always a QR code. Or I will put a link in my email this afternoon for you to actually fill the contact. Just so we've got your current updated telephone number, email address and things like that, and also whether we can share your details with people on rosters and things like that. We are also required as part of the rules of the church to keep a list of those people who are electors in the parish. Elector is a person who is eligible to vote at our annual meetings and stand for positions on the parish council and things like that. So it's a requirement that we do this, and that has got even more out of date than our main role. So if you wish to be recorded as an elector, and all the parish council have to do this, looking at some parish councillors around here because you are already elected, then there is on the back side of this form are some declarations you have to sign. They sound a bit official, but that is what the canon, which is the church law, says we have to ask people to sign. So it would be wonderful if you can do this either in paper or, if that's easier for you, online. That would be great. Thank you. Now let's stand as we sing our missional hymn, King of All Ages, King of the Ages. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds of the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.